It's sad because there's no way of telling if these people are being smart, being prudent, or if they're selling low. You know, if they get out of it and the market starts going up and then they buy back. Nobody knows that, and all of the models have changed since this last recession hit us. But yeah, it is a fact of life. People are doing it. Gut check. And I know a number of financial planners, and they all say, here's what you should do: balanced portfolio, dollar cost average. Heavy into the stock market as the younger you are. That said, if you can't, they call it the sleep at night factor.
Right.
And if you can't sleep at night, if you wake up at 3 a.m. and say, "Wow, my portfolio,"
right?
Then you, for your own mental health, you've got to get out. I would not personally recommend it, but you know, I can understand why people do it.
And you know, as I was reading the story, part of me was thinking, and then yesterday when I was driving in, I was listening to somebody on some station saying how the housing market essentially never going to come back to, and we're not going to see those 30% growth in home values that we got used to for a fairly big chunk of time. You know, who knows? We can't predict the future. We're pretty terrible at that. But my sense is there's almost this notion that, hey, people not really trusting that the stock market is going to see the gains even over a 30-year period of time.
That's very likely. And I forget which chairman of the Fed it was, but he cautioned against irrational exuberance.
Yeah, Mr. Greenspan. Yeah.
Right. And of course, it turned out he was exactly right. We all said, stop talking like that.
Right.
But he turned out he was exactly right.
And we didn't take his advice at all, did we?
Well, we didn't. And you know, you and I mean, here we are living proof.
Yeah.
You know, in a previous incarnation, we both worked for a wonderful internet company.
Yeah.
It was a startup. It was fun. It was bright, neat people. We had lots of venture capital, and you know, the sky's the limit. And we couldn't wait for the stock to be issued so that we could buy it up.
Right. We could print out all our money and just roll around
in
all the dough.
And I was trying to figure out, did I want a house at Bethany Beach or the Bahamas? And probably both.
Yeah.
And boom, you know, the bottom fell out while we were there, which is why one reason we're no longer there.
Yeah.
But I think that's true. And I think an entire couple of generations, the people who remember the Depression, the Great Depression, are in their 80s now. The 80s and 90s, you know, the World War II generation that was save and you pay cash and all that. Those people were losing them $1,200 a day, I think, is the rate for the Greatest Generation. But what's happened is people like you and me have never been through a serious recession. And it's hit us for the first time. We thought those things were a thing of the past, and it turns out they're not. And this one was predicted to be over soon, and it's just not happening. So you can understand why people are doing this. One of the beauties of the Federal Thrift Savings Plan, of course, is that most private sector plans, no matter how many choices they offer, they don't have anything. Well, I say most, none of them have anything like the G Fund.
Yeah.
Super safe, never has a bad day, backed by the Treasury.
Never has a terrific, fantastic day.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
It never has a bad day.
And, you know, now people were dying to get 3% returns.
Right.
And it's funny. Every now and then somebody will say, well, what if the G Fund fails? And I said, if it does, head for the hills.
Right. You've got bigger problems than worrying about your retirement,
right.
Let me tell you. The other topic I want to touch base with you on is this ongoing story about pay. And this story keeps coming up again and again. And you had a great column yesterday talking about, you know, you have the right wing folks saying, you know, all feds are overpaid.
Right.
You have the left wing folks saying, hey, we need more people to do the jobs
we want to federalize everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And you, as usually is the case, the truth probably somewhere in the middle there. I guess I'm wondering what impact this is going to have. We're a bunch of primaries happening today, elections coming up in November. Do you have any sense as to whether this is just another one of the cycle, or is this something more?
You know, I really don't. But if I had to guess, I would say that the idea of overpaid federal workers and overcompensated and all that, it's out there.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of stories. And I think the Washington Times had an editorial even yesterday about it, as recently as yesterday, commenting on a Cato report and the Hoover Institute and others. Max Kakis had a good story about Congressman Lynch's reaction to it. But that said, I mean, I don't think the average person in Des Moines, Iowa says, I'm going to vote against the incumbent because federal workers are overpaid. That may be part of the thinking, but we really will just have to wait and see. And I'm always... In fact, I was discussing with somebody this morning. I'm always leery of polls because they say this, and they, you know, and I keep thinking, and I have a postcard in my office, and it's President Truman holding up the Chicago Tribune, which says Dewey defeats Truman. You know, they printed that based on a poll.
Right.
Well, so no,
then of course
know.
There's the you know this fact that 97.6% of all statistics are made up on the spot. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and you know the small group also is scary. There's almost no poll in the U.S. that's more than 1,000 people.
Right.
And that's to me it's frightening.
And yet one does get the sense, and as I've traveled around the country in various places, people talking about this, and the thing that I always remind them of. And you are very good about reminding them of the federal workforce is not your average workforce.
Right. I keep saying it doesn't do retail. Right. Sam doesn't do retail to any great extent. But if you compare
a lot
it
of
to
those
Walmart,
jobs have frankly been outsourced.
They have been, yeah. And many of the lower paid and many of the blue collar jobs. But again, it's often comparing apples and oranges. Now, when you get into fringe benefits. And the total right. compensation, which is what President Clinton wanted to do, wanted to include fringe benefits in the mix, you may get a very different story. But again, Walmart, as I said, doesn't have civilian astronauts.
Right.
You know, most companies don't have people who are experts in nuclear fusion and that sort of thing.
And you have those things. You also have people always say, well, you have job security. You also yeah. have the challenges of working within a very large, I hate using the word, but a large bureaucracy, where if you're somebody who's a best and the brightest and you like to come and get things done, this doesn't move very fast.
There are downsides to it, very definitely. And again, so much of this is the economic system, because jobs are hard to get now. People read in the paper that the administration wants to hire, I think, 147,000
yeah, right.
new people, and they can't get a job. Nobody they know is hiring. So I think there's some resentment there. How much of it'll contribute to the backlash, who knows?